everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Dagger for the week of July 22nd. I am your sweltering co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and ever-traveling Melissa Hansen.
That's me. That's where I am. I'm like Matt Lauer, I swear.
Where in the world is Melissa?
Guess is where I am at this moment where we're recording. We'll win a prize.
Let's see if anybody can pick up a hint from what we talk about during the show.
Or just knowing. Okay, seriously, I'm not kidding.
All right.
M. Hansen at DVDverdict.com.
Yep.
Guess
there you go.
People who don't know me can guess very specific where I am. Town. Town okay. name.
Where in the United States is Melissa Hansen?
Town and state.
All right.
And I'll send you a prize.
All right.
Worth more than 99 cents, I promise.
Still not over my cold. What has your weekend entertainment been like?
Indie movie week.
Ooh.
So re-watched James Gunn's Slither.
I still have not seen that.
Oh, I gotta watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Nathan Fillion, so why wouldn't somebody watch?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Elizabeth Banks, Nathan Fillion, okay. Michael Rooker.
Oh, jeez.
It's a horror movie, but it's so over the kind of top ridiculous.
It's horror comedy.
It's not full-out comedy.
All right.
But it's definitely funny. It's definitely smile throughout it. But it's just icky. It's just icky. It's not scary.
Yeah.
It's just like you, and not like torture porn icky. It's just like right. gross. Kind of ew.
But for those who don't know, James Gunn grew up under the tutelage of Troma's Lloyd Kaufman. That's where he started his.
Definitely along those lines.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I rewatched that because I finally watched his movie Super.
Ah, what do you think of that?
Rainn Wilson, I really liked it.
Yeah, I saw it years and years ago.
Highly over-the-top violence.
Yeah.
It's about a normal schlub kind of guy, Rainn Wilson, who decides to become a superhero. So it's kick-ass in that way.
Yes.
But it veers, too. I liked it. I didn't like Kick-Ass. And I think it's because it's kind of maybe social commentary in it and different comeuppance kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he does. He loses his girlfriend. Who is Liv Tyler, Rainn Wilson and Liv Tyler kind of thing. She leaves him for Kevin Bacon.
Right.
And so he decides to become a superhero. But it's like, is he doing it for the right reasons in the right way? And you're like, yeah. And then you're like, oh, dude, what are you doing? No, not okay.
Yeah.
And Ellen Page is in it. Who plays like his little minion follower.
Yeah.
Kind of wacky. Very, very violent.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And there are many moments I was like, holy shit, did they just do that? Wow. So it's kind of a downer of a movie. It gets a little bit lighter at the end and a little bit of a feel good at the end, but it's an interesting one. I'm not going to recommend it wholeheartedly because a lot of people will not like this.
Yeah.
So anyhow, saw those two and then Safety Not Guaranteed.
Now this is it a Doctor Who-esque type story?
I hadn't heard that.
Okay.
It's a time travel story without really any time travel.
Okay.
So Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Rec plays this young woman. She's interning at like a Seattle magazine. And Jake Johnson from New Girl is in it. And he's a reporter and he ends up taking her and another young reporter on this story. There's this guy who puts an ad in like a little local paper for someone to time travel with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's built a time travel machine. So they go to like, what is wrong with this guy? How crazy is he? And she ends up like kind of going undercover, like pretending she wants to time travel with him and she believes him and everything.
Okay.
But then they end up having this really interesting relationship. It's really a relationship movie. Him and then Jake Johnson's character goes back to see the hot girl, like from his past.
Okay.
And she's not so hot anymore, but she ends up being quite perfect in a way. It's really about these couple of relationships.
All right.
And the whole movie is, can he time travel or not? And I'm obviously not going to give that part away.
Of course not.
But that's not what the movie's about. It's not actually a time travel movie. It's really more of this interesting, quirky relationship movie.
Okay.
So that one I can, not everyone's going to love it, like any movie, but this I can recommend to a wider audience.
Okay.
It's really just sweet and lovely and interesting.
And it's available on Netflix.
Yes. Yeah. All of these are on Netflix.
Okay.
So that's my indie week.
All right. Well, I went the complete opposite, and I went to see Lone Ranger and was pleasantly surprised.
Good. I really do want to see this.
It's gotten a lot of bad word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the same thing happened to me with John Carter. I did not see John Carter in the theater, but everyone trashed it. And then I saw it because I reviewed it for Verdict on Blu-ray and absolutely loved it.
And I don't know how much bad word of mouth it's gotten rather than just no word of mouth.
Well, it's ambivalence, right? It's this whole, mm-hmm. I could care less about this thing. And to be honest, that's kind of how I felt going into it, having seen the trailer and not really being a huge Lone Ranger fan. In fact, I don't know anybody outside of maybe our grandparents' generation who were like fans of the Lone Ranger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like that character has carried through like a Robin Hood or...
No, or even Zorro. I think Zorro is a very similar character.
Yeah.
And it hasn't. We haven't, had those movies throughout time.
Yeah. And there's no great origin story for the Lone Ranger. In fact, it's not even done well here.
Okay.
You're
right.
He was an idealist, at least how it's played here in this film with Armie Hammer, who is so milquetoast. I don't think he could carry a movie on his own. This is really Johnny Depp's film.
Yeah, it is, and we knew that from the beginning. Yeah. Dude, he gets to wear a bird on his head. How is that?
and they frame it. They frame it in 1933 with old Tonto telling this story to a young kid.
Oh, okay, got it.
So it's all done in flashbacks.
So it's still like 1800s.
The story takes place in the 1800s. But this is like a 100-year-old Tonto who's telling this story to a young kid wearing a mask in a cowboy outfit.
I kind of love it.
Yeah.
Just
now,
that.
This is coming from, and I think the reason this works, is Gore Verbinski and Rossi and Elliott, the two guys who wrote the first three Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Got it.
I was not a fan. You know my love for the original three Pirates of the Caribbean films. It's somewhat not even justifiable, but it's just so ingrained in me that regardless of their flaws, I love those films unconditionally.
Like the idea of it as much as you like the movies or more.
I love that world. I can spend as much time as possible in that world. Mm-hmm. The fourth film was done by Rob Marshall, who did Chicago, and it was shit. I did not like it. There were moments that flashed back to it, but no.
There were good moments, but overall,
yes.
Eh. Yeah, I give it an eh. I don't give it a bad. I give it an eh.
Yeah. Johnny Depp's Tonto, you will see flashes of Captain Jack. I mean, it's almost impossible. They could be, you know, ancestrally related.
Yeah.
It's that very kind of quirky Johnny humor where you're so into the character, it's just him that comes through.
Right. And there's things like even like Benny and June, like that character comes through in Captain Jack.
There's still that sliver
of him in no matter what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he creates a very complete character,
but
he's so distinctive looking and such a distinctive personality that always a sliver of it shines through.
Yeah. And it does so here. And this is a balls out adventure comedy with an emphasis on the comedy. There's a lot of comedy in this.
Which I didn't realize how much Armie Hammer can do. I recently sat through, let's call it, Mirror Mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Snow White telling with the Lake Collins, where he plays the prince.
Right.
And he's funny as hell in that.
Yeah. And he can play the straight man. I mean, he's good, but.
Right. He can play twins. That's how good he is.
Facebook. And, Social Network. So it is definitely worth seeing. Helena Bonham Carter gets top billing in this, but she has such a very small role. She only shows up really twice for any significant point of... And actually, there are only two main characters in this. I mean, William Fichtner plays the bad guy. Tom Wilkinson plays the bad guy. But then it's just it's really the Lone Ranger and Tonto. It's their story and these, you know, very small characters that kind of inhabit their world. It's long. It's 2.5 hours. It probably could be trimmed. Mac was saying the same thing, and I would agree with him. But it's time well spent, because it's just fun. And Gore Verbinski does these types of world-engrossing adventures very well, and does it again here. And if you saw Rango, it was an animated world, but it was the same type of thing. It's a very distinctive visual. It's almost Python-esque in a way. So if you had not been going to see it because it's been getting a bad rap or because people say it's boring, I challenge you to go and enjoy yourself, because I think you will.
Good.
Yep.
Yay.
At the box office this past weekend, I tell you, studios love this, producers love this, because filmmakers can spend very little money and make a buttload at the box office. So in this case, The Conjuring, which I don't know if people's love for shows like Ghost Hunters and things like that, but the indie horror film The Conjuring, budget of $13 million, stars Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, comes from James Wan, who's the guy behind Saw, about a husband and wife paranormal investigation team, pulled in $41 million at the box offices. And it just goes to show that you can do this, that Hollywood is open to any type of films as long as there's an audience for it. Up next, Despicable Me 2, $21.5 million. The thing's pulled in almost $300 million so far. And I think the strength of which works to the disadvantage of another film that just opened, Turbo, about the racing snail who swallowed the nitroglycerin fuel, voiced by Ryan Reynolds, only $21.5 million this past week, just slightly ahead of Grown Ups 2, which pulled in $20 million, $18.5 million for the sequel Red 2. I didn't understand the first one, the CIA action comedy with Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren and John Malkovich. The real loser this week, two real losers this week. Pacific Rim had an incredible drop-off. Guillermo del Toro's Monsters vs. Robots, which everyone seems to love, at least everyone I've talked to, only $16 million, so not even close to $100 million yet. But the real loser is RIPD, Jeff Bridges, Ryan Reynolds' action buddy, paranormal cop comedy, which basically looks like Men in Black, except they're hunting ghosts instead of aliens, only $12.8 million. Next week, a couple interesting things, not the least of which is Hugh Jackman returning to the role of Logan in The Wolverine. Here's another character that I don't care where he is or what he's doing. I will enjoy watching it. Because Jackman has this character down, and it's a complex character, a character that I've loved since the early 80s when I started getting into comic books. And he does it very well.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I will watch Hugh Jackman, you know, rip things to shreds and be a smartass.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
No matter what else is swirling around him.
Yep. So he goes to Japan this time, and okay. A man whose life he saved in World War II when he was fighting in the Pacific Theater, okay. A Japanese man whose life he saved, is giving him the gift of removing his immortality.
Okay.
So, you know, Logan is, we don't know how old Logan is. You know, there are flashes back that he may have even been in the Civil War. We don't know.
Right.
But he can't die. And yeah. Now this man says, I can give you that gift. I can allow you to be human and mortal again. And it's the fallout from that, because guess what? Bad guys show up.
Mm-hmm.
So how does he fight the bad guys if he can't survive like he used to?
Right.
Also coming this week, Community's Jim Rash, who won an Academy Award for his work
for his writing
on The Descendants,
yep.
Gets to not only write, but co-direct with his friend Nat Faxon for The Way, Way Back.
Okay.
Which is a highly anticipated comedy starring, get this, Steve Carell, Toni Collette, Allison Janney, Maya Rudolph, Rob Corddry, Amanda Peet, Sam Rockwell, and 16-year-old Liam James, who plays the title character, and he was John Cusack's son in 2012. So he's got his share of stuff. But
Don't forget the second Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh, that's right. Anna Sophia Robb. Yes, is in this.
Younger. Youngins.
Yep. And then we've got the sexual awakening coming-of-age comedy The To-Do List, speaking of Aubrey Plaza, starring Parks and Rec's Aubrey Plaza, as well as Bill Hader and Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live, Aaliyah Shawkat from Arrested Development, Donald Glover from Community, and Agent Phil Coulson himself, Clark Gregg.
He's just everywhere.
He is. But two good comedies this week.
Yeah, it looks kind of adorable and very relatable.
Yeah.
Which is what I like about Aubrey, too. She's adorable and relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she plays kind of this anti-establishment very well. You know, she's...
Mm-hmm.
She's not the...
Well, she's not cutesy adorable. That's
right.
Not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a different spin on that.
Very sarcastic.
I find sarcasm adorable.
I know you do.
I really find myself adorable. So...
yeah. All right. If you are not going to the theater and you would like to see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, you can go to DVDverdict.com in the upcoming releases page. Eric's review for Mystery Science Theater Volume 28 from Shout Factory is in. He gives it another thumbs up.
There's almost as many of those as Kids Bops.
Oh, God. Yeah. We've got a double dose of James McAvoy this week.
Ooh, I'll take it.
Two direct-to-DVD action movies, James McAvoy and Vincent Cassell in Trance, and James McAvoy and Sherlock Holmes Mark Strong in Welcome to the Punch.
Ooh.
It is a weird week, though, because then we've got the Jack Benny show, the Lost episodes, which Jack Benny's show was on radio for a long time, and then he just had a very short run on television when, you know, television came about. We've got the follow-up to How to Train Your Dragon, which went to TV. DreamWorks did a TV version of it called Dragons, Riders of Berk, and the two volumes of all of those episodes are available this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I know you'll be interested in this, it's a movie I haven't seen in a long time, but Ang Lee's Ice Storm gets the Criterion treatment this week.
Really nice.
Yeah. Over at Redbox, it's stuff we've all talked about before, but it's just coming available at your local wherever corner Redbox machine is. Jack the Giant Slayer, again, good movie, better than the rap that it's gotten in, you know, in the public opinion. 21 and Over, which is yet another one of those, hey, dude, we're turning 21 and we're going to trash everything in sight movies. Fox never sent us that one. I wonder why.
You know, for my 21st birthday, a friend and I went to TGI Fridays, and I was very upset because I didn't get carded. I still turned 21 in the damn movies, let me tell you. Okay.
Oh, boy. The terrible comedy, although our review, I think it was Patrick Bromley who reviewed it for us, said it isn't as bad as you might think. Movie 43 is not the worst comedy he's ever seen. And trust me, Patrick's seen a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And then we've got the 2013 version of Evil Dead starring Suburgatory's Jane Lynch. No.
Not Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch.
Levy.
Jane Levy. I was only a few letters off. Jane Levy, not Jane Lynch.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Over at Netflix this week, a movie that I worked on with Harold Ramis, Ice Harvest, John Cusack and Billy Bob Thornton.
Honey, that's not such a good movie.
No, it's not such a good movie.
It's
a terrible heist movie, although Oliver Platt was in there.
It's interesting, but not very good.
No. We've got the animated musical adventure A Monster in Paris. We've got the latest in the Up documentary series. I think Jen Malkowski did a bunch of these for us, so it was like 7 Up, 14 Up, 21 Up.
Yeah, it's like every however many years goes back like to the same group of kids.
Right. This is 56 Up.
Frick. That's insane. Yeah. Very cool, though.
Yeah. And then we've got the Julianne Moore horror thriller, Six Souls, available on Netflix this week.
Okay.
Over at Hulu, we've got the coming-of-age drama Tanner Hall, which stars Rooney Mara from The American Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and Amy Sedaris, the great comedian and sister of David Sedaris.
Right.
We've got the Civil War zombie horror film Exit Humanity. If you didn't know there were zombies in the Civil War, you'll find out.
Well, it makes perfect sense. I mean, if you're going to have zombies at any time and place, it's going to be a lot of them there.
That's true. A lot of dead bodies laying around. Inspired, Voices Against Prop 8, which is now kind of moot because there is no more Prop 8. It's been shot down. And then I don't know if you've seen this or not, Believe, the Eddie Izzard story. It's the documentary.
I've not seen the documentary. I've seen his stand-up stuff, but not that one.
So if you have time on Hulu, it's there for you this week. And I'll throw it over to you for television.
Okay. Monday CW. It's very CW this summer. Breaking Point, which is their ballet kind of show. Season 2 is back on that. Tuesday, ABC Family, The Vineyard. It's about, like, young people on Martha's Vineyard reality thing. And also on Tuesday, Who Do You Think You Are? That genealogy show?
Oh, yeah.
It's back, but it moves to TLC.
Okay.
A bunch of celebrities, you know, finding out backstory about their family. Wednesday, ABC Family, Spellmageddon. It's a spelling show.
What?
It's like a game show with spelling.
Okay.
All right, then. Uh-huh. Also Wednesday, Top Chef Masters is back on Bravo. And a new show on Sci-Fi, Joe Rogan Questions Everything.
Jeez.
He's going to be looking at, like, the Yeti and, like, big weird things. Anyhow, it's Joe Rogan. What more do you need to know about that?
So he left Fear Factor and then started doing a podcast, which I guess has gone bonkers. So he's reinventing himself yet again.
Yeah, well, he left news radio.
Right.
And did Fear Factor.
That's right.
Yeah, he's reinvented himself numerous times. And then wasn't he doing, like, wrestling commentary or something?
Was he really?
Yes, something like that, I'm sure.
Wow.
Yeah, he's all over the place. But, oh, he's interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, Thursday, Hell's Kitchen finale on Fox. Friday, Would You Fall for That premiere on ABC.
What?
It's another, like, reality, like, in the moment, like, would you fall for, like, these kind of setups?
Oh,
I don't
boy.
Know. Whatever. Sunday, Unforgettable, that Poppy Montgomery, like, cop show where she can't forget things.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, if you were one of the few fans of that, that is actually back on CBS. Not a good sign. They're putting it off over some. But anyhow, you can watch that again Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Music this week. Selena Gomez, who somebody needs to get her a good talking to. Seriously, back with the Biebs. Anyhow, her new one, Stars Dance, is back.
Mm.
And you know what? I was driving a whole bunch today, and so I heard her latest release way too many times as I was flipping through the stations.
Yeah.
It's got this, like, Indian sound to it, like Bollywood kind of song sound.
Oh.
Whatever.
Huh.
All right. Mark Anthony 3.0, his latest, and then from Grits and Glamour, it's called Dos Divas. It's actually Pam Tillis and Laurie Morgan, for you country fans. It's the two of them doing an album together.
Hmm.
And speaking of The Wolverine, the soundtrack for that is also out on CD and MP3. Books this week, we don't have to say it again. Shh. A few kind of all over the place things. Are you ready for the title?
Yeah.
What You Want Is in the Limo. On the Road with Led Zeppelin, Alice Cooper, and The Who in 1973, the year the 60s died and the modern rock stars were born.
Okay.
Oh. All right. Anyhow, it's by Michael Walker, but obviously it's about, you know, music and the kind of change between the 60s and 70s and those groups. Madeline Lingle, who did The Wrinkle in Time.
Yes.
The trilogy is actually out on ebook this week.
Oh.
So if you've got, you know, modern day kids, you can download that for them to read.
Okay.
And New Avengers, Volume 1, Everything Dies from Marvel is out.
Okay.
This week. Shot All to Hell, Jesse James, The Northfield Raid, and The Wild West's Greatest Escape by Mark Lee Gardner, for all you history buffs. That is out. And in, well, kind of theater news, crossover news here, casting, one of the kind of original big Tony-winning stars of Jersey Boys,
yeah,
John Lloyd Young is in, at least in talks, it looks like he's going to be signed to reprise that role in the film, which will be directed by Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
So Frankie Valli and Four Seasons, that whole thing, huge hit in theaters all around, well, I guess the world. Yeah, Clint Eastwood is actually going to direct a movie based on that, and the big Tony winner from that hopefully will be starring, which is nice that they're going with somebody who knows the role and obviously has the chops and the singing to do it instead of just some big star. So I actually like that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Bad news. We want to finish up the Cory Monteith.
We might as well. The toxicology report came back from the autopsy, which showed a mixture of alcohol and heroin in his system, although they stopped short of saying that that's what actually killed him.
Yeah, but it did. He OD'd, whether it was the mixture or the amount or just whatever.
Yeah.
Actually happened. It was accidental due to drugs.
Yep. Same thing happened to Heath Ledger.
Yep. Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, for sure.
We'll never really know.
Went down, but yeah. Oh, sad. Actually, poor Jane Lynch was on Jay Leno this past week. Just, you know, had already been kind of set up interview and, of course, was asked about Corey and she got all choked up. And just what a wonderful, wonderful person he was. Ugh.
It's tough.
Yep.
There aren't enough systems in place to help the people who need it the most.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
All right. Moving on. Emmy nominations this week. A lot of the same types of expectations were met, although Netflix scored huge with House of Cards.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey. And that's Fincher's. That's David Fincher's project, correct?
I don't know.
I believe it is.
Actually, it's on my list to watch. I will be reviewing that soon.
Yeah, it's his series. He birthed it. So he was the driving force behind that. Jason Bateman did get Best Actor nomination for Arrested Development.
I love it.
But Mitch Hurwitz's series did not make the cut for Best Comedy.
No. I don't know. It's tough. There's so much good stuff nowadays, especially in unusual places like that.
Yep.
So...
But what these nominations do show across the board is that people's television habits are changing and, you know, people who are going to subscribe to HBO just to watch Game of Thrones or subscribe to Netflix to watch Arrested Development and House of Cards, network TV needs to get its act together because it's not working the same way it used to.
No. No. And it's amazing to me, things like CBS still, like, don't have their stuff on Hulu.
I know.
And, like, only have... the last, if they're online on, you know, the channel's site, it's not all the episodes. It's just like the last couple.
And that's just not how people watch TV.
No.
It's changed so rapidly. I see people at the health club with their iPads and iPad minis watching movies and television there. When there's a whole bank of TVs in front of them, they'll have it right on the equipment.
Yeah, if we can't watch what we want when we want, we're not going to watch it at all.
So, and the advertisers are starting to pull out now, too. Because they see that there's other avenues in which they can be more effective at getting their message out. So it's going to be, All right, so keeping on the David Fincher front, Disney has pulled the plug on his $200 million remake of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which isn't a big surprise. Brad Pitt, who was cast as Captain Nemo, pulled out. The studio was trying to get Fincher to reduce its budget, and he's like, you know what, if I can't make the movie I want to make, then forget it. I'm done. So they axed that. Ben Affleck is going to star in his next film called Gone Girl, which may in fact kill his work on Sony's Girl Who Played With Fire, which may lose Daniel Craig as well.
Don't make it. Just let it go.
Right.
Because the next two, you have to make them both or not make them at all.
Yeah.
And don't, but it's, I don't know. Maybe I should just let it go. Just leave it with the first one.
Well, Daniel Craig and Sam Mendes are both signed to do the next Bond picture. Mendes had backed out, and then he came back to the table and will follow up Skyfall with another story, which supposedly is a two-part story, but we'll see how that plays out. Britt Robertson The young female who is currently appearing in Stephen King's Under the Dome has been tapped to star opposite George Clooney and Hugh Laurie in Brad Bird's Tomorrowland for Disney. She actually beat out Shailene Woodley, who played Clooney's daughter in The Descendants.
Yeah, and she's really good, too. So she's excellent in that.
Yep, and she's at Comic-Con right now promoting a movie called The Divergent, which apparently is based on another one of those teen books, which everyone's very excited about, like Hunger Games.
Sure, whatever they say.
I'm so out of the loop on that stuff. Will and Jada Smith's remake of Annie is solidifying its cast. Now, it's schizophrenic. I don't understand this. Rose Byrne is the latest frontrunner to play Grace after Sandra Bullock dropped out.
Okay.
She would be playing opposite Jamie Foxx as Daddy Warbucks.
All right.
Cameron Diaz is playing Miss Hannigan.
I think that will be riotous, actually.
I don't know.
She will go over the top. I think that will be excellent.
And then Beasts of the Southern Wild star Kevenze Wallace is going to be Annie. After Willow Smith decided she wanted to do something else. Because it's, you know,
I'm just do inappropriate song lyrics and videos.
Well, they better hurry up because the movie is already scheduled to open on Christmas Day, December 2014. You know?
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
All right. Quick news from Comic-Con, which is in the throes of its second of 4 days. Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss has confirmed that Moriarty is dead and won't be coming back ever.
All right.
For Sherlock Season 3. The series will prominently feature Mycroft in the next 90-minute films. There will be a wedding for John Watson, and there will be no romance for Sherlock. The three-word episode preview that they gave out is Rat Wedding Bow.
Ooh, I gotta go to Google. Hurry up, let's finish
this. Bryan Singer has unveiled his Sentinels for X-Men Days of Future Past, which don't look anything like the robots John Byrne created for the books. But, hey, if they're as menacing and destructive as they were there, we'll see how it goes. And Chris Carter, Gillian Anderson, and David Duchovny got back together to celebrate the X-Files' 20th anniversary.
Shut up.
Yeah, how about it?
Gosh, I'm old. All right.
Jillian said that if she had known then how cool Mulder would be now, she never would have given up on him.
she gets to play with Hannibal now, though.
This is true.
Ooh.
This is true.
Almost as good. That is almost as good of a pairing. Let me tell you. Okay.
The trio has stopped short of announcing a new film, but they did shoot down the rumor of doing a 24-esque mini-season.
Oh, okay.
Chris Carter said, you need a reason to get excited about going on and doing it again because it's hard, hard work. But this, meaning them getting together and having all of these people celebrate 20 years of the show, is very exciting. So we may see another X-Files movie yet.
Okay.
And that's all I got for now.
All right. Well, I mentioned it last week. Like Kanye has been, anytime paparazzi says something, and they're just like, hey, Kanye, I'm a big fan, or something like that. That's usually what they say to Kanye. He's going off every time now, like, don't talk to me. Don't talk. Just don't talk.
Don't look him in the eyes.
He did it to a TMZ cameraman who did the whole, like, Kanye, I'm a big fan, whatever. And Kanye just went off. He like, put his hand over the camera and was like, don't talk to me. Just don't ever talk. And he's like, but I'm a big fan. I love your music. And he's like, that's nice, but don't talk. And then he went off, like, tell everyone. Just don't talk. And so he finally started to walk away, and the cameraman, of course, said something else to him. And so he came back and, like, you know, didn't, like, beat him up, but kind of, like, went at the cameraman, and the camera fell and whatever. Okay, so that's not actually the story. The story is Kris Jenner was on The Talk.
Yeah.
That talk show.
Yes.
That's on weekdays. And they showed her the footage, which supposedly she hadn't seen, and asked her about it. And she said, I think he's just sleep deprived.
Nice.
Like, she's making excuses. No, I'm sorry. No, he may be very well sleep deprived. And the hosts were like, oh, because of the baby? They, like, were going with her on this. Instead of, like, calling it out. No, because this is not new. This is not like he's done this once. It's like he's constantly an ass.
God.
And you know what? I think there are big lines that should be drawn with the paparazzi.
Yes.
And I don't think they should be near you if you have kids.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be following you. And I don't think they should be, you know, coming to a restaurant, and they shouldn't be peeking over fences or chasing you in cars. But if you are this was at LAX, who's walking like down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, you're walking down the sidewalk. You know what? You don't want to talk to the paparazzi. You put your head down and keep walking. Jeez. They leave you alone.
You remember how Julia Roberts used to go after them when they tried to film her kids. She was ready to.
And I agree with that. Yeah. They shouldn't be filming kids. But you know what? You are rich and famous.
Yeah.
Guess what? You don't want the paparazzi talking to you? Then don't be rich and famous. It's right. Your choice to be rich and famous. Now, you can choose to make your music all you want. You don't have to release it.
It's true.
You don't have to, you know, put it out on albums to sell, and, you know, you can do what you want. Anyhow, but this idea, like, no, he's not sleep deprived. He's a raging asshole.
Yeah.
So don't make excuses for him beyond that.
Oh, God.
Boy, they.
Mm-hmm. And on that bombshell, we will wrap up this week. Do we have a contest?
So, wait, first bombshell. Kanye West is an idiot. That is also one. That's not a bombshell. We do have a contest this week. It's a new DVD. It's called An Affair of the Heart.
Okay.
It's a documentary. It's about Rick Springfield.
Oh.
But it's actually about a bunch of his biggest fans. I mean, he's in it, but it's not like a biography of him. It's about his interactions with fans and some people who are very, very into him.
Ooh.
So, anyhow, if you are a fan, too, you will want to head over to our contest page. The link's on our front page, and enter that.
Great. All right. Well, until next week, thank you guys for listening and for reading DVDverdict.com. We did get some nice comments from a couple people who emailed us after the show last week to say how much they agreed with our reviews of the documentaries.
Yes. Girls, I'm telling you, don't shy away from the ESPN's 30 for 30.
Yep.
All right.
But until next Monday, Melissa, take it away.
Got to say hello. It's a lucky day. Kiss the moon goodbye and be on our way.